see the whole truth. Focus on you. Tell the rooster sings. I just wanna get to know you. Got a couple things to show you. Body like you don't stop working out. I don't wanna keep this secret. Ain't no coming up, I'm deep in. I'm so lucky, look what I found. You got me saying, you like my little white boy?
I'm weak.
He's gas. Like, I've been falling into him for mad long.
What's his name?
So, that's Good Boy Noah. I think he's really, really cool. Like, I forgot how I fell into him. I think it was like an Apple recommendation, and then they fell into like his old discography. And I'm like, ooh, he's actually gas. So shout out to Good Boy Noah. What's up, everybody? This is your girl Bree. Welcome back. We are here for another episode of the Not For Sale podcast. You know I'm here with my lovely co-host Zara, aka Swaggy Z, aka Baldy, Baldy with the Goldie.
You already know it's your favorite Baldy on the mic, Swaggy Z. I'm here. I'm in the building. What's poppin'?
What's up, Zara?
What's going on?
We haven't been here in a minute, so what's the tea? What's the tea, sis? Give them an update on how everything's been going with you.
Let's see. My birthday was last week. Just turned 27, so that's new.
Different.
What do you mean different?
I don't know. It's just making me think, like, yo, we're literally alive for 27 years.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's us. We're here.
I don't know if I ever really imagined my life past, like, when I was younger, past going to college, like what my life would be like after college. And so I'm just like, oh, this is what life is like.
And how do you like it?
Where I'm at right now is like, it's so amazing because I just got a new gig. This is my second week. And it's been something that, you know, it's what I went to school for, and like, and I'm learning so much. I don't know if they know this or they might not know, but like, this is like my first real, like, legit production job. Having fun because it's like, yo, this is the stuff, like, all the stuff that, like, I legit learned in school, I'm like, I'm applying, like, you know, like, they're throwing out terms like, you know, DP and production schedules and like post work back schedules and this and that. And it's just like, this is all the stuff that like you learned about when you like working on TV and movie sets. Like, you know, like, it's like, how cool is it that I get to say my job is like, I'm coordinating a brand shoot for like this huge brand. Like, that's so crazy.
That's dope.
And it's like, and the other thing that is cool about it is that it's a 360 campaign. So it's not only just me, like, you know, tapping into my video production knowledge. Also, like, okay, we have a billboards that are going to happen. You know, there's always a social media part. You know, there's a website part. So it's like making all of those things work. And then I'm also realizing what the working definition of like creative producer, like integrated producer, because that's really what I'm doing. Like, I mean, I'm the AP for the project, but when I look at my boss, who's the producer, and like what her background is, and like she's always done, like, granted, like, she, like me, she knows like video production, but at the same time, like, she's worked on pop-up events for brands, like she's worked on other campaigns like this for Airbnb, like stuff like that. So I'm like, yo, like, I could get used to this life.
Oh gosh, you're not gonna know how to act. You're just gonna be all over the place, and you're not gonna know how to act, and I'm just gonna have to accept it. And I know, similar to Lydia and her BBL.
Oh gosh!
Just, you know, gonna have
her
to accept
out
it.
There like that.
Absolutely, 1,000%. Like, listen, y'all gonna see on the gram. What you mean? Y'all gonna see it? It's okay. It's all right. She gonna get her nip and tuck, and she gonna be all right. Like, she gonna get a butt, and she not gonna know how to act. It's a normal thing now, guys. We have to understand it's a normal thing. People want a little nip and tuck. You don't think that if you had the money, you would do it?
I mean, I would get a brush reduction.
That's still nip and tuck.
Yeah, but
That's still nip and tuck. It's okay. It's okay.
It's for health reasons.
Oh, wow. My girl said, yeah, let's just give it health reasons. And
yep.
My week was okay. I just dealt with, like, bullshit-ass shit at work. Just the lack of accountability. Just the lack of, like, understanding. And it's still hard in, like, struggling with COVID. I think a lot of it is just that. Like, we're still in the house. And it's about to be summertime. And nobody wants to sit here and deal with that during summertime. So, you know, it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult task. I wish it was a little bit better, but, you know.
No, I feel that because I did that last summer. I was doing a lot of stuff in the house, and I had to make sure that, like, not no matter how late it was, like, obviously I'm not going to be going out for a run at 11 o'clock at night. But, you know, if I was logging off at, like, at 8 o'clock and it was still, like, somewhat light out, like, all right, if I can't go to the track, like, I got to at least walk around my block, like, walk around the neighborhood a little bit. Or, like, if I have a break and I'm, like, waiting for an email to come through, or, you know, I have time between meetings or something, like, I'm going to go outside, sit outside, or do something. Like, you know, I think it's just important to make sure you catch those hours of sunlight, like, when you can, whether you have to tell somebody, like, yo, I need 15 minutes, like, I'm going outside for a walk or run to the store or something. Or if you have a fire escape or a stoop, take your laptop and sit outside and do work outside. Like, that shit is the best. Like, I remember one day I just went to the beach real early, and I was just like, and I'm going to do work until my laptop dies, but I'm, like, chilling at the beach.
Perfect. It was great. Way. That was perfect. That's a
you
perfect.
Set your little umbrella up, have your snacks.
That's exactly what I'll be doing in Miami next week. Yes, I am going to Miami to get the hell away from this disgusting New York weather. Mm-mm-mm. I have no energy or time for any of this anymore. I'm over it. Also, men are very different characters. I had a very interesting interaction with a man that I spoke to twice. And, you know, he was just very aggressive. And it wasn't, like, cute aggressive. It was just like, bro, that's not how you talk to me. Like, I'm not one of your little fucking friends, bitch. Like,
wow.
Not like that, but, you know, you feel me what I mean.
Where was all of that energy coming from? Why was he acting like that?
I don't know. I feel like maybe that's just his personality.
Red flag.
I hate to say it, but I agree. Men just need to do better. Let's just say that. Let's just say men need to do better in terms of how they approach women. Speaking of approach, if you were a sweetie in this situation, how would your approach be? If you guys didn't know, Sweetie and Quavo broke up, boo, sad, whatever. Not whatever, but, you know, like, all the good things come to an end.
Did they say why they broke up?
No. But, okay, technically they did, but that's if you're reading between the lines.
So what is the reading between the lines reason why they broke up?
Her tweet says, I'm single. I've endured too much betrayal and hurt behind the scenes for a false narrative to be circulating that degrades my character. Presents don't band-aid scars, and the love isn't real when the intimacy is given to other women. I emotionally checked out a long time ago and have walked away with a deep sense of peace and freedom, excited for this new chapter of elevation. Quavo then goes,
I'm not buying it.
Hold it down. Quavo said, I know you want to make this into a show, so I'll pay my part just this one time. I don't normally put my business out there, especially my personal life. I feel the need to address this so there is no false narratives. I had love for you and disappointed you did all of that. You are not the woman I thought you were. I wish you nothing but the best. Sweetie then retweets that last tweet and says, take care. Outside of that, there's been a series of tweets going on between her, Sweetie's aunt, and Quavo's sister. Going back and forth, that's irrelevant because, to be honest, I don't care. Like, since this is my podcast, I really don't care what they have to say. But tell us what you think, sis. Tell us your thoughts. By the way, guys, I'm not talking that loud because I'm trying to do my sensual seduction voice.
Very quiet storm.
I don't know. I feel like I was trying to call bullshit on what she said the first time because I'm like, you talking about you've been feeling like this for so long, but like every time everybody see you on the gram, y'all all up in this and you went out for his birthday and this and the third. So I'm just like, why put up that much of a front if you're going through mad stuff behind the scenes?
Because I don't want the public in my business.
But they're going to be on your business anyway.
That's not true.
People are going to know why you broke up, when did it happen, and then they're going to be like, oh, but if you was feeling this way, then how come y'all did this, and how come this, that, and the third happened? You know people's going to pick at it.
Well, people already started picking at the Valentine's Day post. People are saying the Valentine's Day extravagant grand all wasn't for Valentine's Day. It was because he fucked up. Mm. Heard from Gossip in the City he cheated. I don't know if that's true. Who knows? Do you think he did?
I mean, I don't know. I hope that he didn't, but I mean, I'm not surprised if he did. However, I feel like, at least from what we've seen, they would have been one of the couples that might have bounced back from that. But at the same time, like, I mean, she has every right to be done with it if that's how she feels, like, if that's what happened.
I just think it's interesting that, like...
But I can't say that she shouldn't have been cautious of that. Yeah. And she said, like, she shouldn't... Like, not saying that you... Like, this is what she get, but it's all... Not saying that at all. But I just feel like she just should have had that in the back of her head, that that's a possibility when she got with him.
So is that a possibility that you feel like most females, when dealing with rappers, have to subconsciously already pass? Like, they're okay with the fact that you won't be the only... woman.
No, I don't think you got to be okay with it, but I just think that it's just kind of like managing your expectation. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got to be realistic and can't live in la la land. Like, this isn't a possibility. Not saying that you got to bank on it happening, not saying that you should be closed off to it. Like, you know, be your authentic self in that relationship, like cultivate it how you want to, but at the same time, just know, like, is a possibility
that he will cheat on you, right?
Yeah.
Or that he'll step out of the relationship, whether it be like emotionally, physically, or mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. I respect that. I get it. I think this is very out of character for Sweetie to come out and say all of this. Like, I think this is a lot more. Like, she's said enough about her relationship for us to know that she's in a relationship, and we see like the videos and things. But I think it's very out of character for her to like make a whole statement and say like, hey, I'm single. This, like, she's hurt. She's clearly still hurt by it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a more of a disappointment and a betrayal, because it's more of like, yo, I expected you to do better than I see other rappers or our fellow rappers and peers do to their significant others because of the level and like trust that we have amongst each other.
Plus, I feel like they were legit friends. Same. Like, they actually liked each other. Like, not just like, yeah, I like you. Oh, that's my boyfriend. Oh, yeah, that's my shorty. Like, I think they legit have a friendship. And that's why I feel like I would think that they could be the couple that bounces back from this. But like you said, yeah, she's hurt. She's got to process her feelings. And she probably also felt like she probably would never be in that situation. So she's just, you know, I'm just like, oh, she's like, oh, shit. Like,
what woman would? What woman would just subconsciously? I mean, there are women. Don't get me wrong. I do think there are women that subconsciously already know that, but it's still a different aspect when you're dealing with somebody that you trust and you have a level of understanding and like communication with them. I feel bad. I didn't want them to break up, but you know, like Daddy said, them niggas ain't gonna last.
I was rooting for it though.
I think we all were. I think truthfully we all were rooting for them. But I think like a lot of out these celebrity couples, we have to stop expecting so much. We have to stop expecting so much. Because these niggas will continue to disappoint us because they don't care. They're living their best carefree life.
But isn't that sad, though? That, like, every time somebody get into a relationship, we got to manage, like, oh, how long are they going to be together this time? And not like, I hope y'all together for a long time. That's crazy. You can't even root for people to be happy no more.
Yes, you can. I think you still can. I just think you just have to be realistic that not everybody works out. And although two people look great together and like have great chemistry and understand each other and all of the things that of that sort, doesn't mean they're going to end up in a relationship or work out when it comes to a romantic relationship. Nigga, just all depends, honestly. But damn, that wasn't on our list, but it's okay. 20 minutes in, you know. Sorry, guys. But let's get to this list. So where do you want to start? Do you want to do Gen Z and their Eminem cancellation?
Boy.
Are you trying to do the A Boogie? Damn, another breakup too. A Boogie and... Damn, I didn't know that they broke up.
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, I don't know if we still...
always break up though. So that's right. Why I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't know if we still fully... like, they didn't really fully say what happened. She basically like... there was A Boogie had tweeted, he was like, oh, something about, oh, I'm letting her go. And then she clapped back and was like, nigga, you didn't let me go. We just decided to break up. Like, we just, you know, it wasn't like, oh, he did something and then they broke up. She was basically saying, like, you know, they're growing apart and they just got to go, like, they separate ways type shit. But, like, A Boogie is tweeting like he hurt. He's like, yo, I got to, I don't think he's built for the streets. Like, I don't think A Boogie is built for the streets.
Why you say that?
Because, like, I just think he's... that's just not him. Like,
what do you mean?
He like...
no, I need clarity on that one.
He's too sensitive.
So sensitive niggas can't be on the street.
No, but I just don't think that's where he belongs. Like, he might dip his toes a little bit and want to go back to the streets, but it's really gonna be like, damn, yo, like,
he was obviously I miss stepping being out of his relationship home. Though, so he clearly didn't care that much.
Yeah. But he didn't, but being tossed out on the streets is different. Dipping your toe and being able to come back home.
But
that little bit of
that's
danger.
The thing. That's ooh, and you know, next week we're gonna have a conversation about that. I was talking with that to Lydia, I think, and John Boy recently. Shout out to John Boy. But we were talking about girls going into relationships with like celebrities and public figures and things of that sort. And I am a firm believer in that rapper or celebrity has to have that conversation with their significant other and be like, yo, like, I love you, but you're not going to be the only one. There's going to be a lot of temptation. There's going to be a lot of like women, and I can't have you thinking that, like, granted, yes, there will be a level of vulnerability that I won't cross with them, but there's still going to be someone else. And so I wanted to bring Lydia on the podcast because Shorty broke it down like it was never broken down before. And I need the good word to be spread on this podcast because that in itself, as women, we just need to like hear that message. But, you know, next week we'll invite her and we'll have that conversation. But to go back into the A Boogie and Ella, why do I think her name is Bella?
Because her Instagram is Slay by Ella. So if you look at it real class, it looks like Slay Bella. I used to think that was her name too, but I'm like, oh shit, it's
got
not.
It. Okay, so I'm not the only one. But yeah, I think they're going to get back together.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, he's not.
Bullshit. I don't think they're going to end. Plus,
they got two kids together.
Is A Boogie ready for the streets? That's a good question.
No.
Why do you think that he is not ready for the street?
I don't think he has it in him to be like really to really be hoeing like that.
Clarity.
Like I don't think A Boogie is really about to be on some future shit.
Damn, not future.
Right. That's what I mean. Like he's not ready for the streets like that.
I don't
think
he's gonna do that, but I think he might be able to like be ready and date other people. No.
Dating other people is not being for the streets. You know what I mean? Not ready to be out here hoeing like that.
That's true.
He's not Blueface. Just saying. I think it's funny, like, I mean, I don't know what she did before she got pregnant with his kid or whatever, but people were saying that she been making music, but I just think it's funny now she hopping in the booth.
Of course.
Right why, after why they break up.
I'm shocked that this is now the, like, time that she wants to go out and be an artist and, like, do her shit. She gonna talk mad shit about A Boogie. She gonna write good music, and she gonna talk mad shit about that nigga. And it's gonna be jokes. Like, It's gonna be jokes, and all we gonna do is sit there and we gonna listen and we gonna be like, damn, A Boogie, you had this bitch all the way fucked up. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's craziness. But am I shocked? Nope. Am I disappointed? No.
Why are you laughing?
I don't understand. Because I don't understand these kids.
Yo, it's just so crazy. I'm like, I don't know. Well, first of all, I just want to know where they pulled this line out from. Because apparently, according to my research, the line that they used, or the lyric, I should say, that they used to try and cancel Eminem came from the song he has with Rihanna, which is like at least 10 years old, if not older. Yes. So these kids, first of all, y'all had to be like 9 or 8 or 10 when this song came out. So how did you had to look back? You were looking for something to find on Eminem because y'all are not like listening to those. And I was, and then it was just like, if you, because you were probably 8, 9 or 10, or 11, what you didn't know is that Rihanna had already came out and said in a few interviews or whatever that that song was about domestic violence.
Well, she said it when the song came out.
Exactly. So that's my point. So I'm saying was that when that song came out, if you were 8, 9, and 10, you wouldn't know that because you're not old enough to be watching stuff like that. So you can't come now 10 years later and try to cancel somebody for that because you didn't know the information. So you didn't, you did your research, but didn't do your research.
They didn't do
and
your
then
research.
If
how you do your research and you still
and then like, I know y'all don't, y'all just mad. Maybe y'all mad at Eminem for something, or maybe he just don't fuck with y'all or whatever. I don't know. But
disrespected their king.
Who?
You, Eminem be going after the young boys. You
as he
know.
Should.
You already know.
Eminem has his, the rights. What?
Nigga said Eminem has the rights.
What? As he should. Eminem has put his work in. But anyways, my other point was, if they really wanted to try and cancel Eminem for something, they must not have listened to any Eminem music from 1990 something to 2008, because one of his biggest songs, Stan, is about him stalking somebody, putting his girlfriend in the trunk, and committing suicide for both of them. And that's like one of Eminem's biggest songs. Like what? Slim Shady? Bro, those personas Eminem used to create, genius. But he was still wacky as fuck. Like I had a tape of like Eminem's earliest work. Like it was crazy. But it was like creative crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same type of shit that Nicki got bullied for.
What do you mean?
When she had like her Romans phase and like all created all those characters. Oh, some people like thought she was like, yeah, people thought she was wacky. But I was like, yo, she's literally like played 7 different characters. Crazy. She did. She absolutely did. But anyways, I was just like, I just think that's crazy. Y'all pulled this one ass line trying to cancel Eminem.
You're damn right.
And that's just nuts.
I tried to get Eminem.
Especially, especially when 90% of these Gen Z rappers rap about is being sad and on drugs.
Same shit.
So how about we cancel everybody about that?
You have canceled. Have you listened to Tory Lanez project? A song project? I think it's a project.
No, I have not.
Okay, so now it's time to have the conversation. It's time to have the conversation about, are we sure we know all the facts?
No.
It would it be crazy if everything that we know is only half the truth?
No.
Do you think that as of now, people are continuing to boycott Tory? Because I haven't stopped, but I've been seeing a lot of individuals that were not with him now standing with him.
A lot of artists and people in the public eye that kind of fell back from supporting him kind of had to do so because they're in the public eye when everything first happened. Because like, if we want to use Kehlani, for example, like, she had to take him, like, out of her video and off her song because, like, her song was about, like, sex workers. So it's like, I get it. If she didn't do that, that would kind of look
crazy.
You know, it would look crazy, especially when it's literally about to drop. It's literally about to, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's about to come out. And so, granted, you know, we don't know her personal relationship with Tory Lanez, but at least for those purposes, like, especially for that fan base that she wants to go after, like, she had to do
well,
that.
Not once to. I think
think it is her fan base already. I just think she had to choose a side.
Right.
Between being with her friend and standing with her friend, or saying fuck that and like just standing by her fans and being right to her fans.
Yeah, but.
Which she was right. She shouldn't have done that either, because we would have probably looked at her crazy if shit came out that Tori was telling the truth.
Right.
You know, I hope that this situation doesn't bring.
However, I do think that from July until now, almost being a year later, I think there's been so many different things that have come out from different sides. Nobody really knows what to believe anymore. And so now it's kind of like, yeah, some people are still on the like, oh, protect black women wave. Like, you know, whatever. I don't care what he did. Like, she still got shot. Like, it's not okay. But then I still think you have people that are like, okay, there's both people were wrong in that situation. So granted, she should not have gotten shot. Regardless of who pulled the trigger, was her friend, her, whoever, if you want to blame him for just having a gun in the car, fine. But I don't think wholeheartedly like that he was really like trying to shoot at her.
You don't.
No.
I agree. I don't think it was an intentional, like, I'm trying to shoot you. I'm really trying to kill you. I just think it's more of interesting into how we're almost a year in and people are already like back to supporting.
I feel like at this point, I don't even know if people are really even paying attention to that situation, to be honest.
What you mean?
Like, nobody's really talking about it. Nobody's still like, oh, yeah, no one's really talking about it. Like, we all know it happened, but because there's been so much up in the air, back and forth, we don't know this, we don't know that. Like, he said, she said, whatever, it is no clear, like, we just know something happened. And so it's hard, like, to take a side, really. Because it's like, we don't really know what happened. We don't know what the truth is. And it's like, when you take a side, you have to stick with that.
Do good, bad, or indifferent.
Yep. So I guess people are just like, you know, we're just going to keep it low. Side. Like, just keep it neutral.
Feel it. But speaking of Megan, did you see the Grammys?
No, but I watched the clips afterward of her and stuff.
I watched it. I ended up staying inside the house, and my job gave me a $50 Uber voucher, so I used it on Uber Eats. Bought some seafood foil. You know, I didn't need to eat that shit, to be honest. That shit is still in the fucking freezer.
Weak.
You know, my stomach is, like, terrible.
You know my stomach is terrible, but, I watched a lot of it. And I'm glad that Megan got all her awards. I'm happy about a lot of the people that got their awards, like Kate Renata got his. I love the fact that
Ice-T got a Grammy for his metal band.
Wow, yep. I didn't know that. Oh, look at that. Congratulations. But I'm very happy about the artists that won this year, especially like the fact that her got the Grammy over Hove and Beyonce. Like, Beyonce? Like, that was shocking, but it was great to see.
Good.
Yo, the that's okay. Getting up here.
Like right. Beyonce doesn't always have to win.
Yes. But a lot of the time, we always see Beyonce win. So
of course.
You just subconsciously just think Beyonce gonna get that. But it was great.
I'm glad Nas got his Grammy.
Facts.
For the first time. One.
Yes. Got
King's Disease.
Brownie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great because it was I'm glad.
And you know what?
Ooh.
I don't care what people say about this album. I just think the fact that Nas got a Grammy.
You didn't like it?
No, I do. I agree. You know, I'm
not. I think people liked it.
I don't think at first everybody was like, oh, this is such a great body of work. I think because it also got like. Yeah, I don't know.
It got overshadowed by whole shit.
Yeah, kind of. But I think at the end of the day, for me, the fact that Nas got a Grammy. Like, I'm happy about it. Like, it's overdue. Like, my son got a Grammy. Yes, like, he's been a legend for so long. Like, finally, like, they acknowledge that some body of work of his is Grammy worthy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm happy about.
Yes. He's Grammy worthy, period. But, you know, he's been nominated before. But
yeah, of course. It's always like, once you get nominated the first time, it's always an honor to be nominated. But, like, you actually won a Grammy for, like, and it's not even for just, like, your song. Like, for the whole album. Like, that's fire.
He deserved it. The album is really, really good. And it also kind of, I mean, Did Nicki put anything out within the past year?
I don't know if Queen qualified for this year's or last year's.
I think it may have qualified for this year, bro. If I'm not mistaken, I think it may have qualified for this year, but their entry points spread into last year. I saw this clip of Joe talking about how the Grammy board doesn't acknowledge Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like that's true?
I was just about to look up
if she won a Grammy.
No, well, she's never won, but let me see if she's been nominated. I don't even know if
she's never won. Like, nothing.
Been nominated. Okay, so she was nominated in 2016 for Rap Album, The Pink Print, Melodic Rap Performance.
Yeah, that's only the one that they snubbed her.
Truffle Butter. And then you have 2015, Anaconda. Oh, shit. Yep. Then again in 2012 for Best New Artist, Album, Rap Performance, or Duo with My Chick Bad, Rap Performance, Moment for Life. So I feel like, damn, that's it. She hasn't been nominated in like 5 years. That's wild.
What has she put out in 5 years that have given her Grammy nod? Go to the discography. Let's see what the discography is looking like over the past 5 years.
I mean, I feel like, see, and that's the thing where we hold her to such a high standard, and two women back to back have gotten Grammys over her that we don't even hold to that same standard.
But that could also be a numerous of things, my G. My nigga. This is the Grammy board. These are prissy folks. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. They're not really open to forgiveness and like her knowing that she was young. She doesn't need to keep being the punching bag. I think that's kind of fucked up. I think it's fucked up that Megan got a Grammy.
And that's what I'm saying. Nicki. What I'm saying is that like just now I was like, oh dang, she has been nominated 5 years, and you were like, well, has she put out anything that's been Grammy worthy? But I'm like, Cardi B and Megan won Grammys, and do we hold them to that same standard? Have they put out something that's Grammy worthy?
Okay, so let's talk about it.
What's and so Grammy I feel worthy? Like we hold don't on. So we don't let making Nicki Minaj live like that.
So let's break that down. What do you think is Grammy worthy?
I think it's changed.
How? When did the change happen?
I think it's changed.
Before I ask you how.
I think it changed as the music industry changed, because I think we all know that there's been a big shift from you got to be talented to make it to you got to be running the numbers up. And I think especially from what we've seen of the Grammys in the last few years, at least in the R&B and hip hop category, it's like they're giving Grammy nominees to the people that are either really popular or somebody died, in a case with Nipsey Hussle, or it's Jay-Z or Drake or somebody that's just really big, that just like, okay, if we can't choose nobody, we're going to choose like one of the top five that, you know, always do something. You know what I mean?
I do. But I also think that it's very interesting that, again, how did Megan get a Grammy before Nicki? I just need to understand that. Like, I get impact and I get numbers and I get the grand scheme of...
But Nicki's had all of that.
But Nicki also smeared them while doing that. That's where that goes wrong. Nobody's going to pay attention to your achievements when you're talking shit about them. Like, nobody. I was talking to one of my writer friends. The quote is that my writer friend said, where and how did BET, NAACP, and the Source Award fail to achieve the same greater validity of a Grammy within pop culture? Never see artists, industry workers, or fans ever get as worked up over any other award like a Grammy. Back to Nicki and her achievements that you mentioned. She got those achievements, but she also was talking shit about them at the same time. So why do you think somebody's going to pay attention to you when you're talking shit about them?
Talking shit about the Grammys?
The Grammy board. Her distaste for them. Like most artists do. But it's different when you're Nicki Minaj and you deserve that. And you worked your ass off for that. I think it's a little different. I mean, I think you have to play that card.
I think she just peeped game from early. And she just decided like she was just going to let it be known like, yo, this is what it is, and I peep it. So I guess maybe she just thought in her mind, it's like, do I really want something from y'all that are not being real about it?
What do you mean not being real about it?
Like, okay, if I peeped like how shady y'all moving, like if you guys are the Grammy board and like it's supposed to be based on talent, based on merit, you know, based on, you know, what you're at, the creative work. But at the same time, like, I see, like, y'all playing favoritism. I see that. It's like, do I even want something from y'all now? Like, because how do I know that I got it for, because I was talented? Like, how do I know I didn't just get it because I was out here kissing y'all ass, or, like, you know, somebody did a favor for this, that, and the third? So that's probably the decision that she had to make. It's like, do I even really, like, hold this as weight in my life anymore?
I can see where you're coming from with that, but I also feel like when you are Grammy award winning, it's a different set of zeros that come with most checks. So I, at the end of the day, I can understand that perspective, like, you doing all of this shady shit, but you're telling me that these are the standards. Why is it a different situation going on? And the simple word is politics. We know that. There's politics. You can't talk shit. You can't do things and expect others to wipe your back. I'm a firm believer in the Grammy brings a different set of dollar signs. So I think that in the best business stance, you probably shouldn't do that. Because you don't know how that may come and haunt you back at the end of the day. And look, it comes back and haunts people always at the end of the day. But, you know, you have to go through your struggles. There were years that they smeared Kanye. But now look at that. He winning awards for Jesus and gospel albums and shit. Like, what the fuck? Like,
and that's the other thing, too. I feel like
you win some, you lose some. That's what Megan said. You win some, you lose some. I don't think they're rigged. And she's right. I don't think they're rigged. I just think it has a lot to do with a lot of the politics that's behind closed doors in a way he talks about.
I mean, yeah. But in a way that is still kind of like it being rigged, because what if I don't know that? What if I'm coming up, I don't know how to play the politics game? Or what if I have...
That's why you have a team.
Right. You know, but I feel like there's a lot of different situations where you just like...
And it's public knowledge that they run like that. So I would expect that anybody that is walking into those doors should know those two pieces of information, since it's out in public. I mean, yeah,
but everybody don't, like, what if, like, somebody might just play better than me, or what if this, like, that's just not, if it's supposed to be based on merit, like, all that politics shit should just be out the window. So I'm saying, like, it's not rigged, but at the same time, like, it's still not a level playing field either.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely agree with you there.
But, I mean, it's just funny coming from her saying you win some, you lose some after she won, just because I wonder if she really, because of who she said she's looked up to in the past and, like, inspiration, she said, you know, she listened to a lot of gangster rap when she was little, like, you know, Nicki Minaj was one of her biggest inspirations, like, people like that. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, that's where your inspiration is, that's where you come from, like, the songs that you got, that you won for, like, do you think those stand up to those people that you look after?
I don't know. That's actually a good question. I don't know. Maybe. Since she was able to win the same achievement, my song is just as good as whatever Beyonce put out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was able to get a similar achievement for the same thing. Or my song was recognized just as highly as this song from Beyonce. So I don't know. It could be seen a little different. Couple different ways.
But I feel like in terms of, like, our black award shows, like, being overlooked, I don't think they ever really got the chance to get that type of notoriety.
Break that down to me,
Sarah. Because the Grammys have been around for 1100 years, and so before we had our own, that's what we aspired to do. Like, ever since, you know, especially, like,
62 63,
yeah, especially, like, with that. But you know what I mean, like, BET started in, like, the 80s. Like, with all, you know what I mean? Like, or the 90s. So the same, I mean, there was Soul Train, but I don't know when the Soul Train Award started, or the NAACP, or the Image Awards and stuff like that. But the Source Awards only started in the 90s.
What, 92?
I think, like, no, I think, yeah, maybe around there. Because, you know, the infamous one was in 94. But, yeah, I don't think, like, the same thing with the Oscars. Like, I think it's just something that they just never got a chance to get their own notoriety, because when they came about, we were still, like, it was just all about the Grammys. It was just 94. Like,
no.
Yeah.
You were right.
Okay, so yeah, there you go. That was the first one. it was just like, you know, it's all about the Grammys. And I think when the something maybe like the Source Awards came out where it was just for hip hop, because hip hop wasn't in the Grammys like that, I think that was the chance that we had
to continue
to for something to be like, yo, like, okay, yeah, you might have got a Grammy, but like, yo, in hip hop, like, if you really was somebody, like, you got a Source Award or whatever, like, big hip hop, like, award show, like, the BET Hip Hop Awards should be 10 times as bigger than it is, or at least some sort of hip hop award show. Once Homeboy sold it, it was over.
Damn, you think the selling really changed that, had that much of an impact?
It was literally, like, not only, like, I forget his name. I want to say Bob Johnson, but I know Johnson is his last name. However, Mr. Johnson, it was independently owned by him. Like, it was his network. And he, in 2000, he sold it to Viacom, which owned MTV and VH1. There was no chance that BET, there was no chance that BET was going to be, going to get the same type of attention that those other two were. It was like, okay, yeah, like, now we have our whole, like, we have the whole young adult audience. Like, you got reality crap on VH1, you got music stuff on MTV, and then we got the black audience on BET.
Yep.
And we don't gotta, you know, it doesn't need to, it's not a priority for us. Like, it doesn't need to be all grand. It doesn't need to be this. And at the same time, like, how many, and realistically, like, yeah, Miss Deborah Lee, she was the CEO over there for a long time. Like, and I was another black guy that replaced her. But, like, realistically, how many black people are really calling the shots at BET for the last 20 years?
Realistically?
Realistically. At the
top, most of the people at the top of BET were black.
Right.
But they still had somebody to answer to because they're at Viacom. So let's get back to the nastiest things that we've seen on the internet this week. And about outside of Gen Z trying to, you know, get rid of Eminem, another nasty thing I've seen this week was Trey Songz spitting in two girls' mouths at the same time.
Oh, gosh. He's trying to be Mr. Steal Your Girl again.
But he can't.
Yep.
But he can't.
He's still young. He's still young enough. Trying to be out here.
So you're approving of this behavior?
No, absolutely not. But I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to tap back into that. That's what he was known for. And he was like, nah, I got to let these kids know. Freaky Trey is back.
And you're here for this?
No.
Okay.
You have a son now. So you can't be teaching your son that what doing crazy things with somebody else's daughter.
Listen, sis, you think he not gonna teach him that? You don't think that son gonna peep that very early?
He better watch. He better not be cute.
He is. You don't see him now?
He better not
He's
be cute.
He's adorable.
Do yeah, baby cute and being damn you fine is two different things.
Oh, you don't think by looking at his mama and his mother, he gonna be fine?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I hope he...
Oh, no.
If he's cute, it's gonna be a problem.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, sis, it's gonna be a problem.
Imagine if Chris Brown had a son.
He did have a son.
But, like, I'm saying, like, a grown, like a teenager son.
Out here on these streets with his dad. Out here. It's lit.
Look at Kirk and Rashida's son. Kirk not even cute. And their son is adorable.
Like I said, Kirk not even cute. Kirk is cute.
No, he's not.
He's
Do you cute. See his nose?
That's not nice, Sarah.
Just nice. Saying.
He's cute for the He's older right. dude. I'm not.
He's a sleazeball, so that maybe that makes him ugly.
Yeah, that's what makes him ugly. That is exactly what makes him ugly. He's attractive, but no, ew. I know too much of your information. I shouldn't know all that. But two thoughts here. Oh, yeah, this is me. If y'all fucked before, y'all ain't friends.
Thoughts? So what are we?
Acquaintances. Passing ships.
Oh, so you're saying, like, just because we had sex doesn't mean that we're friends?
Yes.
Gotcha. I mean, I guess that's cool. Like, I mean,
she said, I guess that's cool.
I don't. If when you
are you friends with everyone you had sex with?
Probably everyone, except like two. But we used to be friends.
But today, y'all but are not like, friends.
No.
In my scenario, doesn't work. Not like that. Not all the time. If that conversation has already been had between each other, like, yeah, I moved on. Yeah, you moved on. We're like passing ships. Then it can be friends. But if it's not passing ships, no. And that's why I said, you could be friends, passing ships.
Yeah.
But no, if I fucked you, I'm not your friend. No, what the fuck? I'm not your friend. Like,
hopefully you're just not out here having people, having sex with people that you don't know like that.
Hmm? What do you mean, Zara?
Because, like, I'm thinking, like, if you frame it that way and you say, like, oh, just because we had sex doesn't mean we're friends, then it's like, well, then how many people are you out here having sex with that's not your friend that you don't know like that?
What's your level of friendship? You're okay with having sex with friends?
Yes.
Why?
Because I want to at least know you. Like, I don't want to have sex with a stranger.
So if he's not a friend, he's a stranger.
I mean,
there's no middle ground. I mean, you can't just not know for somebody.
Like, I mean, yeah, but it's also, but like you said, you really don't know. Just because I know you, I don't know you like that. Like, I don't know. I might think, like, I know.
I might have an impression.
Yeah,
of
I might
you,
have an impression,
like,
but I don't know how you really are, like, in real life. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's just more comfortable for me to, like, know, like, at least, like, regardless of if we're still friends or still cool later on in life or not, at least it's just more comfortable for me to say, like, all right, yeah, that dude's cool, like, you know? Because, like, I don't want to, I don't know, just, like, I've only, even when I did have sex with a stranger, I ended up being cool with him anyways. So it doesn't even feel like it was a stranger.
I guess my level of friendship is very different than other people. Like, you could be an acquaintance. Friend and acquaintance are not the same thing. Like, we could be cool. I see you outside, we get a drink, we could talk, but we're not friends. We don't hang out, like, you don't come to my house. I don't go to your house. Like, I think there's levels of friendship because everybody's not your friend.
True. I mean, I guess I just see it in terms of, like, my friendship. Like, I can't, my friendship is different with each person. Like, the friendship I have with you is different than the relationship I have with Amani. It's different than, you know, the relationship I have with anybody else. So it's like, you know, with some people I know, like, all right, this is like us as friends, like, we're cool because we work together. And, like, that's the scope of our friendship, and it can grow from there. But I just know, like, you know, when I'm at work, that's my friend, that's cool, and that's what we are to each other. But there's some people that I know I can go anywhere with. Where I hit them up and be like, yo, you trying to go to here? You trying to go there? Like, let's go on vacation. We can do this. Like, I know, like, I can do that with certain people. So I guess that's just how I frame it in my head. Like, right. I just, you know, categorize
each person, friend, how they are. Yeah, every relationship is different. Got it. Okay, so you want to talk about this Gender Wars, Aretha Franklin.
Play that Gender Wars one, because I want to see your reaction to that one. You got to play it from the beginning.
Okay, so who is this woman, Zara?
So it actually, I found her because somebody sent me a longer video that, like, she was a clip of, but I thought it was just interesting. I had to go look up, like, that video of her because I thought what she was saying was interesting take on, like, the whole, like, Megan situation, like what we were talking about before, her being in relationships and stuff. So just to give a little context of where she's starting at, the video clip and the longer video that was right before hers was about a girl talking about when Breonna Taylor just passed, and we found out that, you know, nobody was being charged, and they were saying, like, oh, you know, I feel like, you know, Black women are unprotected, and we're like, it was a Black man who, like, is handling the case and is not doing right by her and just justice by her. And then so her video came next, and so this is what she's saying to people who say, you know, Black women are unprotected and such and such.
It's taken me a few days to wrap my mind around the results of the Breonna Taylor case. And as angry as I was, and as angry as my mother and my sister were, we weren't all that surprised with the results. The most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. Black women are depicted as these strong women who can handle anything. Well, that's because often we're all we have. Disrespected by the Black men that we raise, the Black men that we were raised by or lack thereof, the Black men that we love so much. Because at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, a lot of times we're all we have.
You just killed my son, white supremacist. A Black man is the one who shot back. A Black man was the one who tried to protect. Not only that, a Black man, her ex-boyfriend, was really protect her even after she died. Because they offered that man the whole plea deal. And he did not take it. To lie on her. He didn't take it. So it's like, I see all of these people up here really complaining about how Black men are protecting them, but why are you not acknowledging the Black men who are?
She's speaking facts.
What you think about that?
My girl speaking facts. I ain't got nothing to say. My girl speaking facts. Like, bruh, like, it's not all of them. It's a lot of them. But I think the problem is what a lot of people don't understand. Complacency is also just as bad. So that's where I think unfortunately, she didn't go into, like, the fact that she's complacent in every situation. Child, but she right. Ain't got nothing to say. She absolutely right. Listen, it's not all black men, but I think the fact that it's a lot of black men, and we have a percentage of black men that feel like they're not going to step in because they don't know, and they're not going to risk their lives for a situation that could turn out to be very well, like, the female's fault, a bad situation. It's a lot.
Yeah, I think I just thought it was interesting her take on it, because I feel like she said a lot of things that people won't say, but we all are feeling. And I definitely can understand where she's coming from. You want people to respect you and stand up for you and protect you, but, like, you got to look at their behavior. We've always, our dads have always told us that. How can you expect a man to respect you and treat you as a queen and protect you and want to do all of that, and he can cuss out his mother, his own mother? Or you know, the other people he's around, or the way he talks about other young ladies before you. It's like, you know, we always want to think that we're going to be the one to change, or you won't think about me, or our bond is specialer than any other one. But it's just like, sometimes you just got to look at their behavior and see, like, yeah, I can know, like, if I'm in a situation, like, I can't count on you.
And if that's the case, why am I dealing with you? Like, why are you here? If I'm hungry, why am I hungry? Like, I shouldn't be hungry. Like... Just don't understand. Nah, I'm just fucking with y'all.
I definitely do agree with her. I feel like a lot of times when we do try to, like, not like we as a community try to uplift black women, it's always like we always got to say, oh, I don't need a man. Like, yes, sis, you don't need him, do you? Like, you don't have to say that, but also to cheer me on too, because it's like, just because, what if I do have a man? Like, so am I not gonna be cheered on just because, like, I'm in a relationship?
Is that how you feel, Zara?
No, it's not how I feel, but I'm just thinking, like, just, you know, on the flip side, where it's like, oh, or it's like, you know, even when we say, like, you know, having more women do stuff in the workplace, it's like, we don't have to say, like, men can't get it done. But at the same time, like, you know, we got it together because, like, a woman stepped in, or a woman like put her hands on it, or stuff like that. And it's like, if you're on the flip side, it could be taken as like, okay, so, like, men are just unorganized and they can't get shit done and they don't do X, Y, and Z. And so it's just like, yeah, it's just all about changing narrative and how you speak about it. And it's sad to say, because I felt like this growing up, like, even though my parents were not together, I saw my dad all the time. My dad did stuff with me. You know, he was there. And because a lot of my friends in school didn't have their dads in their lives, I almost felt like I was bragging. But same. I didn't want to feel like that, because I was just expressing, like, yo, me and my dad did this, as if I was saying me and my mom did this. But so it's just, like, sad to say, like, you know, when you, I feel like that's how some women may feel, like, when they have, like, good men in their life, because it's like, you know, you want to celebrate him, but at the same time, like, it might be taken as like, oh, you bragging because you got a man, like, everybody can't be you, or, oh, he's not this, that, and there, you got a this, that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and it's just almost like, it's sad that, like, you can't just be happy for each other whether you do or don't find somebody.
No, I agree. Damn, I got nothing to say. Right. But the last topic, so I had saw this clip run across my Instagram. What's so sad about what's going on? And it's a clip of Jim Jones, just to give you a little backstory. Jim Jones is on The Breakfast Club, and I guess him and Charlamagne are having a conversation about how the music industry and the talent is captured nowadays. The music industry doesn't look for talent, they look for numbers. So, let's roll the clip.
What's so sad about what's going on in the music industry, because they don't look for talent anymore, they look for numbers. And it's scary, because you can have the most bullshit talent and make a most bullshit record. And as long as that record goes viral and click the number, there's a label that's going to give you a shitload of money just because of your analytics and your numbers. And they will skip over all the people that got talent that could be the next Michael Jordan or the next Drake or the next Dipset. They skipping over all that mm-hmm. if you don't have your numbers. And I know that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that I definitely would get back to changing in the game if I had an opportunity to get into the music industry as an executive again, because we missing the talent. And I ain't got to take nothing away from no music that's out there. I like being lit. I like going outside. All these music give you different feelings. But I'm talking about when it comes to making different music and real music and giving people the opportunities that should be in the right spot when it comes to being successful. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to dig into. Like that, finding them jewels. And there's a few of them out there. Like you can see on the Grammys and things like that, which was dope last night. And I thought I was watching the Source Awards for a minute when I was watching the Grammys. It was so dope like that. No disrespect in no way. I mean, like, mm-hmm. it was so black. It felt mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? So, and these are the things I want to attack more in this music industry as far as finding that dope talent in the next music that we need to be following. That has some substance, that has some flashy, that lifestyle is dope. Like, you know, it's always been a full package that kind of turned me on. Maybe I'm bugging. Maybe that might not be it no more. But I know for the life of me, some of these things need to change back to where it used to be. It need to be a mix of both. It need to be a hybrid of what used to be and what's going on now and shit. That's how I feel.
So I have two things.
You have questions for me, or you have two things to say?
Just 2 points. So one, when he was talking about talent versus numbers, the perfect example is Danny Lay.
Oh.
Because.
Okay, so tell me why you say Danny Lay.
Because most people know her for that song, Baby, whatever. I'm a little baby, whatever. So I'm like, I never really heard any of her music outside of that, even though she had like songs with the baby and she had all these other songs going up. So I was like, let me take a listen. And I was hoping that her music did not all sound like her popular song. And it does. I don't know if she's supposed to be a rapper, if she's supposed to be a singer, whatever, but it's just like real simple, super auto-tuned. Like, I'm like, I can do that. I can probably do a better job than that. But why is she famous? Because she's cute. She's little. She got the little Hispanic thing going on.
No,
listen, we all know. They did it in the 90s with J-Lo. So and we had, what's her name? Ruby Perez. Like, come on, you know they always got to throw the little Latina in there somewhere.
The little spice.
She got to be in there. And so it's just like...
A little sazon.
But like I said, like, her music goes up, so that's why she's going to continue to be successful. Is she going to be the greatest singer or whatever out there? No, but she'll do all right.
Have you seen this video of her recently? She was dancing at a performance, and the closed option was a interesting choice.
I'm not surprised.
The people I'm saying she pregnant. And the outfit screams I'm trying to hide my belly. And the only part about it that made me look at it like, okay, not thinking, maybe I'm tripping, maybe I'm thinking into that, whatever, cool. Halfway into the performance, or about a quarter way of into the performance, shorty puts on a jean jacket. And I think that was the part I was like, now I'm looking at this a little fishy.
I don't know, but yeah, it just hit me, even though we were talking about this earlier, when he said, you know, I felt like I was at the Source Awards, even at the Grammys, because of how black it was. And it made me think about, I think we're in this phase of, once again, separation versus integration. Because I think we've regarded the Grammys as such a thing for so long because we're trying to be integrated with, you know, white society. And we want them to think, you know, we're just as good as them. But it's like, I think nowadays we're coming back around to that argument. It's like, do we even want to do that anymore? Like, why are we looking to them for validation? Why are we looking to, like, we had these great things. Like, we should be able to acknowledge our own. Like, they should have to come to us and be like, who's the greatest, you know, that y'all got? And we should be able, as a community, decide that. Not, you know, people that are on the outside.
It's a little bit, I think that's kind of twofold. In the world that we live in today, realistically, we can't separate just because of the fact that in the world, black people are not separated from white people. Nobody is separated from each other. We're in life integrating. So how can you separate that?
But see, then again, that brings up the other argument of like the people that we do regard to be at the top. If they shift that narrative, you don't think that dumb white people's gonna follow? If Kanye West, Drake, Future, Jay-Z, Beyonce,
also Hov just made that bomb ass fucking deal.
Right.
I don't think realistically he's not even doing what you're saying.
No, but what I'm just saying if he's people like that
integration.
If people like but way. I'm just saying there's an argument for it. If people like that were to make that shift and say, yo, we're creating our own shit.
Hov did that.
White America, but it wasn't his own. If you really deep dive into Tidal, he didn't fully own Tidal. He never did.
Yeah, no, he never did.
He was always just one of, he was just always one of the big, he probably brought the deal to the table and, you know, helped facilitate and make it happen. But it's, there was like 17 other people that had like stake in it. He probably brought a lot of those people in, but it wasn't only Jay-Z's. But, you know, he's one of the most popular people. So he had a lot of controlling power in it, which I'm sure he negotiated in that deal. And now he sold it. And that's the same thing with his liquor.
He sold a quarter of it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if he was literally, like, if, let's say, Roc Nation was not tied to Live Nation at all, period. Mm-hmm. And he had Drake, Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Future, Chris Brown, and all them people signed, you don't think that would change the narrative of the music industry at all?
I think it might, but realistically.
And so that's what I think people are coming from when we say, like, instead of trying to fit in, why don't we build our own? Because that money will still come, but it will be controlled by the narrative. Our narrative will be controlled by us, and MTV and YouTube and all these people will be coming to those people. How do y'all want it to, you know what I'm saying? Instead of us having to go to them.
As a black person, do you think we support our own? As much as we are consumers. See, that's the difference. Feel it. Well, that's all I got for the day, guys, to be honest. Sorry, do you have any last words?
No.
This was a great episode.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're back. We're in a different location. Can't tell you that. Mind business, guys.
We're back and in full effect. Yeah, you already know. If you fuck with me, then follow at the Happy Accidents Club on Instagram, www.thehappyaccidentsclub.com. Make sure you make a purchase. Yeah, run a checkup.
Not run a checkup. But we appreciate you guys for listening this week. We had a lot to talk about, but we'll be back next week. Bye.